substitute for a wider net and a shorter burden on the Missouri taxpayer. And I think that, you know, because you know where I started on this subject. I was very, very concerned.
I think you were, although we discussed it in much the same terms, I think you were much more adamantly opposed to it on the floor than I was. I was a little bit more emotional.
Think about how far the language has come. In the original underlying bill, it was, you don't have your papers, we pick you up for a second time, you get charged with a Class B felony. That was something that I could not support at all. So this is a much better approach. I do appreciate your approach. And so I'm gonna let some other colleagues have some time here, but I do hope we adopt your substitute.
Thank you, Senator.
Further discussion. Senator from the 24th, for what purpose do you rise?
To inquire of the senator from the 7th.
Senator from the 7th, do you yield?
I do.
Proceed.
I know you've been speaking for a long time, but I'm just going to kind of run through some things that I have on this, and we'll talk about it. And I'll probably go back to the sponsor of the substitute. I listened carefully to what you were saying, and I understand how you got to the point where you're at. But I want to remind you of whose purview some of this is under. You commit a crime in the state of Missouri, then you are subject to Missouri laws.
Talking about jurisdiction.
Right. But the crime of illegal entry or illegal reentry is the federal government, under the federal government's purview. Immigration law is clearly theirs. And while I just heard the sponsor of the bill say, quoting the sponsor of the underlying bill, this may get someone's attention in Washington, let me tell you whose attention I think it's going to get. I think it's going to get the attention of the taxpayers when they end up spending millions of dollars in court trying to defend something that, frankly, I believe, based on the case law and information I have on my desk, is indefensible. So I was going to read a couple of things to you, if you don't mind, and we can talk through them. First of all, we have case law over 70 years old that says, basically, that Congress and Congress alone may legislate in the area of immigration. Now again, whether somebody's here legally or undocumented, they commit a crime in our state, we have jurisdiction and we can charge them with the commission of that crime. But when the crime is being here illegally or without documentation, that according to this case from back in 1941, the case of Hines versus Davidowitz involved legislation passed then by the state of Pennsylvania that required aliens to register with the state government and provide certain information required by the state. And here's what the court said in response, and I'm going to quote this. One of the most important and delicate of all international relationships, recognized immemorially as a responsibility of government, has to do with the protection of the just rights of a country's own nationals when those nationals are in another country. Experience has shown that international controversies of the gravest moment, sometimes even leading to war, may arise from real or imagined wrongs to another's subjects inflicted or permitted by a government. It goes on to say, and specialized regulation of the conduct of an alien before naturalization is a matter which Congress must consider in discharging its constitutional duty to establish a uniform rule of naturalization that is constitutional. It cannot be doubted that both Pennsylvania and the federal registration laws belong to, and this is a quote, that class of laws which concern the exterior relation of this whole nation with other nations and governments. So I have more to read, but let's just pause and talk about the implication of the state of Missouri, or any other state for that matter, creating a new felony, the offense of illegal entry or reentry. This is not in our purview. Now, you come here and commit a crime, regardless of whether you're here with legal or illegal status, you are subject to our rules and our jurisdiction. But this is a national issue, and we cannot from state to state vary. Think about the ramifications of that. If states create their own penalties around around people coming in illegally, so we have maybe higher standards or more stringent penalties in the state of Missouri than they do in another state. What we've done then is created a situation where we've made one state more attractive for undocumented immigrants than another. I don't think we want to do that. This is a national issue, and this was established over 70 years ago. That's step one. So your thoughts as we go
through this. I do think that this is outside the purview of the state government. So therefore, if it were challenged, as you read, federal law is the jurisdiction for immigration statutes. But because they've changed the language, now when we were talking about the underlying bill originally, I am 1,000% against, because someone being here without documentation papers, that is not a crime.
Right.
Okay?
That's a civil matter.
It's a civil matter.
Right.
But once you've been convicted of a felony in a United States court, you have, in my estimation, lost. It's like if you commit a felony, you can no longer vote, or you commit a felony, you no longer own a gun. There are consequences for committing a felony
right.
in the United States.
Of course.
So therefore, I don't feel, if this is proved to be unconstitutional, okay, I'll accept that
except
it is.
That. Costs us money to do that.
And
you know what, if you'll read, and I know I'm interrupting you after I asked you to speak, so I apologize, but if you'll read Section 2, the offense of illegal reentry is a Class E felony. We've taken a federal offense, and we have put our own...
Well, we've put a prerequisite on that offense. So now you're saying...
I'm saying you can charge them for the prerequisite, for what they did here that was...
They already were charged because they were convicted, and then they were deported, and now they're back. And we're saying you were already here once, and what did you do with your opportunity here? You committed a crime.
All right, and your penalty was that you were deported. But if you came back, then maybe you didn't serve that penalty.
This is an intentional deterrent. This is a deterrent from those folks... to come back once you have lost your ability to, because once you've been convicted of a felony, that path to citizenship that we talk about the federal government not providing, which is why we talk about DACA students. I'm so adamant about the federal government getting off their duffs and fixing this problem, because it's not fair for us to have a hodgepodge of different state statutes dealing with those who enter,
right.
enter
this
our
is
country.
A these are national concerns.
It absolutely is. But at the same time, if this convicted felon has no path to citizenship and they've already been deported once, then this stands as a deterrent. I like the senator from Green's penalty of a Class E felony versus the Class B felony, because I don't want to pay for them for 5 to 15 years.
But again, and I understand that, but again, what you can do in the state of Missouri is charge them and hold them accountable for the crime they committed. You cannot, as a state...
What if they committed it in another state? Again, I see this, I'm not saying it's constitutional or to be upheld, but it's a deterrent for convicted felons to not come back, because they can't be citizens. You've been convicted of a felony, then your path to citizenship is now closed.
All right, so that, therefore, they're coming back illegally, right? And they are coming back illegally, which is a federal issue. And again, I don't disagree with you that crimes committed in this state or others should be accounted for, and whether that is through some penalty other than deportation, that is up to each state to decide. That is under the state's jurisdiction. This crime, the offense of illegal reentry, is under federal jurisdiction for very good reason. And actually, in the state of Arizona, much more recently, which is still trying to, has spent $3 million, I believe, in court, still trying to defend its position on its bill. But it is, this is absolutely not our jurisdiction, not only, and it is not our, we cannot layer on what the federal government will do as a result. I mean, there is case law that says that. I don't disagree with you.
I think that if this is challenged.
It's not my opinion. This is the opinion of the courts.
I'm not disagreeing with you.
Right.
If it's challenged, I don't think it stands because we don't have jurisdiction to do it. But if we're just talking about the policy of it, then, you know, I'm at a place where I'm not a roadblock for this to move forward.
And I will be, because I have, as we all have, and I know that you have too, sworn to uphold both the Missouri State Constitution and the U.S. Constitution, and I believe unequivocally that this bill, because it creates this offense of illegal entry as a state offense, unconstitutional.
But it just was passed in 590.
I know, and I was not in favor of it then. So here we are again. I want to read you a little bit more from this information about this case. Pardon? Okay, let me read you a little bit more, and then I'll let you sit down. And I just want to hear what you have to say about this. Consequently, the regulation of aliens is so intimately blended and intertwined with the responsibilities of the national government that where it acts and the state also acts on the same subject, the act of Congress or the treaty is supreme, and the law of the state, though enacted in the exercise of powers not controverted, must yield to it. And where the federal government, in the exercise of its superior authority in this field, has enacted a complete scheme of regulation and has therein provided a standard for the registration of aliens, states cannot, inconsistently with the purpose of Congress, conflict or interfere with, curtail or even complement the federal law or enforce additional or auxiliary regulations, which is why I believe absolutely that is clearly language that says this bill, whether the intentions are good or not, whether we are trying to prevent crimes from people who would enter this country undocumented, is not within our purview and is therefore unconstitutional.
I don't disagree that's probably the case, but when we first had this bill up, you and I spoke with the Senator from Green, I spoke with Senator Webster, I made it very clear that original language of making it a crime for reentry for any
right.
person that's so the Senator from Webster heard what I said. He's changed his bill
right.
to mirror what I asked for.
I understand.
And that's why, whether it's constitutional or not, you know, I don't know how I'm going to vote on this yet. I'm still sorting through my own emotional feelings about it. But when I decide how I'm going to vote, the fact that the bill has changed, and again, the senator from Green, I think his position is a little bit more reasonable with a wider net and a less burden on the taxpayer. So I hope that that's the substitute that we end up going with. And it's so, you know, that is why I, at this point, I feel comfortable enough to say if it's unconstitutional, and it appears that it is, because we don't have the jurisdiction to essentially make a crime of immigration, then I will let that run its course. There are other bills that I also have deemed unconstitutional that I may vote no on that I don't, you know, have elongated conversations on, that I will let the courts ultimately decide that. And this falls into that category.
All right. Well, I appreciate the inquiry. Mr. President.
Thank you.
Senator from the 24th.
Of the Senator from the 4th.
Senator from the 4th. Senator from the 4th, do you yield for inquiry?
I do.
Proceed.
Thank you, Senator. Senator, you're an attorney, and I don't think that this is your area of expertise necessarily, but you probably have a pretty good sense of what your feelings are about whether this substitute language or the underlying substitute language is constitutional based on creating the new state crime of illegal entry.
Yeah, I'd say the United States Constitution is pretty clear about who has authority to regulate immigration in the United States. I don't understand why we want to try and do it at a state level. We can't enforce most of the stuff that we've already got on the books. So, I have an opinion about it. I don't care much for it. But
right. So, you know, my concern is...
That's why we're out here. That's why we debate bills, so we can say the pros and the cons.
Right. And that's what I want to talk about. I just want to make sure that that the body is clear and understands that this really does fall because it creates a crime that's really under federal jurisdiction. Case law says that the state can certainly punish for crimes that are committed that are, whether they are domestic violence or abuse or some of the other crimes.
Right, sure.
We have the right to do that, to convict or to try and convict for those things.
Right.
But both these bills create the offense of illegal reentry and make it a crime in Missouri with a penalty. And regardless of how one feels about this issue of people coming into the state of Missouri undocumented, the reality is that is not our jurisdiction.
It's not our role to combat that. It's the federal government's role. And actually, that's being debated. I think they started the hearing today, or they had the hearing today in the United States Supreme Court to see whether the president has expanded his presidential power in excess of the power granted to him by the United States Congress on immigration. And those arguments were, I think they allotted 90 minutes today on it. So I would imagine, and that's an extraordinary amount of time. I think 26 states sued the president.
Right. When do you think we would hear the results of that?
I can't imagine much before summertime.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, that I'm looking forward to hearing that, and I haven't actually gotten any kind of word on how that went today, but I've been on the floor since we got here this afternoon, so...
Yeah, me neither. I've been busy doing...
Right. So, anyway, I just wanted to hear from an attorney and somebody who is looking at this same language that I am to make sure I understand... am I reading something wrong, or is this going to end up, if we were to pass this law yet again, because I know we just passed it on the earlier bill, but if we were to pass it again, can we expect the same thing that Arizona is going through? And again, to date, they've spent $3 million trying to defend their law because it's been, it's unconstitutional. It's not in our purview. You and I are in agreement on that. So I just wanted to make sure that I am reading this the same way you are, and it sounds as if I am.
I think you and I are on the same page on it, Senator.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Senator, for the inquiry. I appreciate it. President.
Further discussion. Senator from Buchanan, for what purpose do you rise?
To inquire the Senator from Webster.
Senator from Webster, do you yield?
Yes.
Proceed.
So what we're looking at now is the Senate substitute.
What we're looking at is an amendment from Senator from Green.
Okay. So it's the Senate substitute as amended by the amendment of the Senator from Green.
Yes.
Okay, because I stepped out for a minute and I just wanted to make sure. So basically now what we're dealing with is you commit illegal reentry if you commit a crime and then you're deported and then you come back into Missouri, but you have to commit a crime again.
No, that's not correct. This deals nothing to do with federal law. It has nothing to do with reentry in any way. What it is is a state law, not to come up in federal court. It is a state law.
Okay, so basically, tell me what you have to do in order to violate the state law of illegal reentry.
It's not state law of illegal. Okay, violate state law. You have to commit a felony in any state, Missouri, any other state in the United States, or a misdemeanor assault or misdemeanor abuse.
In Missouri?
In the United States.
Oh, okay. So
someone from the right, like this guy from Kansas that killed the people?
Yeah.
if he came to Missouri, and he could be charged that way. Had he came to Missouri and done any of these things, had he assaulted his wife? Had he came to Missouri, had they lived in Missouri and assaulted his wife, then he would have been charged with this.
Okay, so...
Or if he lived there and came over and was stopped for another reason, he could be charged with it.
Okay, so basically, the way the law, the bill reads now is, an illegal alien commits the offense of illegal reentry if he or she has been removed from the United States for any of the reasons listed under 8 U.S.C. Section 1326B, and thereafter enters, attempts to enter, or is at any time found in this state, unless such alien is otherwise permitted to enter the United States under federal law. And then two, it is a Class E felony. And three...
O3, Senator.
Oh, I'm sorry?
Well, it might be in the original bill. I'm sorry.
I mean, I'm looking at the senator from Green's amendment. So basically, you've totally removed the business about committing a crime after you come back in, right? It's been removed.
Yes, yeah.
Okay, that's all I really wanted to understand. Wait. There's another amendment here.
Right, that's Senator Green's amendment I was talking to you about. It basically does about the same thing. It just changes the penalty.
Okay, I have two different amendments here. So the one that went onto the bill was 04S.
The one you just got from Senator Green has not had the motion to adopt yet.
Oh, okay. So he has this amendment, and he's going to offer
it. I think he's going to withdraw his original amendment and propose this one, which I support.
Okay, so you support this amendment,
the one
that was just...
Yep.
Okay.
And it lowers the penalty.
6 to 10, enters the state, commits an offense. Okay, so thereafter enters the state. So, what his would say would be, an illegal alien commits the offense if he or she has been removed from the United States for any of those reasons, and thereafter enters this state and commits a misdemeanor offense, or commits an offense in another state. So why is it that we have to have them commit another offense? I don't understand why we can't have it be that just if they've been, you know, deported, they come back into Missouri, that's illegal reentry. Why does it even have anything to do with committing another offense? That's not the reentry, that's the offense.
Right. I think there was some concern about it could be, it could be construed that granny comes to visit her grandkids and gets caught, and then she gets put in prison for 5 to 15 years. Or someone come over illegally working who's committed no crime other than the crime of entry and reentry.
Okay, but now, in order to, the reasons listed under 8 U.S.C. Section 1326B, are those having committed a crime?
I'm sorry, do what?
Okay, you know, it says that they were removed under the provisions of Section 1, or 8 U.S.C. Section 1326B. Is that the commission of a crime?
Yes, if they've been removed, that is, first of all, it's a felony to come across the border illegally. They were removed, sent back, they came across again. So basically, they've committed two felonies, but this bill doesn't go back to that. It goes back to the fact they've committed a crime once they've been here.
I just have to tell you, I think that the way it ought to be is if they're ejected from the United States, then coming back in unlawfully is illegal reentry, and that's what it ought to be. It ought to be that when they come in, and with no other condition, if they come into the state of Missouri, they are illegally entering Missouri, and that's what the definition of it ought to be. That's what I think. You probably, in your heart, agree.
That was the original bill, Senator, and it did not appear it was going to go anywhere, so in the spirit of compromise, that I agreed to do this. I propose this.
Okay.
The suggestions from the minority party on the force, I propose it.
Yeah, I understand. And basically what I see is instead of calling it in a spirit of compromise, I would call it watering it down to where it's useless.
I don't think it's useless.
But
because,
that's just me.
Yeah,
because if they
useless,
commit a felony, they're guilty of that anyway. I mean, they come in, they commit a felony or domestic abuse or whatever. They're going to get picked up for that and get charged with that. So this additional crime that we're creating is really unnecessary because they just committed another felony. They'll get hooked for that. So what it is is that instead of being able to take people who are here illegally and deport them or convict them of a crime and deport them, what it is that we're now waiting for them to commit another crime or do domestic abuse, and it's a total, you know, watering down of your excellent legislation, and it makes me sad that you have to do it.
Well, maybe we can
change
it next
year. But
I'm
not going to stand in the way of your doing it. I'm just venting.
Okay, I appreciate it. Maybe we can change it next year, year after next. We'll see how it works. That's a nice part about this body.
Yep. Thank you, Senator.
Thank you.
Senator from Green, for what purpose do you rise?
Mr. President, would you please send the substitute amendment back?
Send the substitute amendment back to the Senator from Green.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have a new substitute amendment I'll send forward. I ask that the reading be waived. I also move its adoption.
Seeing no objection, the reading will be waived. Do you care to explain your amendment?
Thank you, Mr. President. In looking at the substitute bill a little closer, in my discussions with the Senator from the 7th, I realized that I had amended over a new threshold that the Senator from Webster had placed in the bill. And I went and spoke with him, and I think that we've found a place of agreement. If we include the essence of what we adopted in Senate Bill 590, along with this new threshold that he's listed, and his amendment that he had offered, I'm willing to go up to the C felony. And the reason I'm willing to do that, he's wanting to have a floor of 3 years. I would have preferred to have gone to a D felony with those additions to the legislation. A D felony is a term not to exceed 7 years. A C felony is 3 to 10. Although I don't like the C felony, I do like the additional thresholds that the Senator from Webster has offered, and both in the substitute bill as well as the amendment that he proposed. So I offer this substitute, which incorporates all three of those, and I would be happy to answer any questions. Otherwise, I would renew my motion.
Does any senator desire to be heard on this motion? Senator from Webster.
Speak on the amendment, Mr. President.
Proceed.
Mr. President, I appreciate cooperation from Senator Green. I support this amendment. I like the way we work together and urge the body to support it. Thank you.
Further discussion? Seeing none, Senator from Green, you are recognized to close on your amendment.
I close.
The Senator from Green moves the adoption of Senate Substitute Amendment 1 to Senate Amendment 1 to Senate Substitute for Senate Bill 612. Those of the opinion that that motion shall prevail shall say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say no.
No.
The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. You have adopted Senate Substitute Amendment Number 1. We are back on Senate Amendment 1 to Senate Substitute for Senate Bill. I'm sorry, I apologize. We are back on the Senate Substitute for Senate Bill 612. Further discussion on the bill? Seeing none, Senator from Webster, you are recognized to close.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that Senate Substitute as amended, Senate Bill 612 as amended be adopted.
The Senator from Webster moves that Senate Substitute for Senate Bill Number 612 as amended be adopted. As many of the opinion that that motion shall prevail say aye.
Aye.
Those of the contrary say no.
No.
The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Senator, you have adopted the Senate substitute for Senate Bill 612 as amended. Senator from Webster.
Thank you, Mr. President. I now renew my motion on adoption of Senate substitute for Senate Bill 612 as amended.
The Senator from Webster moves that Senate substitute for Senate Bill 612 as amended be declared perfected and ordered printed. As many of the opinion that that motion shall prevail shall say aye. Those of the contrary say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The bill is declared perfected and ordered printed. Senator from Cole.
Thank you, Mr. President. Without objection, Senator, go to the order of business of reports of standing committees. I ask you to recognize me for a report.
Senator from Cole, you are recognized
for reports
of standing committees.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your Committee on Rules, Joint Rules, Resolutions, and Ethics has a report.
Send the report forward. Madam Secretary, read the report.
Mr. President, your Committee on Rules, Joint Rules, Resolutions, and Ethics, to which was referred Senate Bill number 577, begs leave to report that it has examined the same and finds that the bill has been truly perfected and that the printed copies furnished the senators are correct. Also, Mr. President, your Committee on Rules, Joint Rules, Resolutions, and Ethics, to which was referred Senate Substitute for Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bill number 801, begs leave to report that it has examined the same and finds that the bill has been truly perfected and that the printed copies furnished the senators are correct. Respectfully submitted, Senator Kehoe, Chairman.
Senator from Newton.
Thank you, Mr. President. Please refer Senate Committee Substitute for House Bill 1698, Senate Committee Substitute for House Committee Substitute House Bill 2030, Senate Committee Substitute for House Committee Substitute House Bills 1366 and 1878, Senate Committee Substitute House Bill 1795, Senate Committee Substitute House Committee Substitute House Bill 1904, Senate Committee Substitute House Bill 1745, the Committee on Governmental Accountability and Fiscal Oversight. Also refer Senate Resolution 1970 to the Committee on Rules, Joint Rules, Resolutions, and Ethics. And also please refer Senate Committee Substitute House Committee Substitute House Bill 2187 to Governmental Accountability and Fiscal Oversight.
Those bills will be so referred. Senator from Cole.
Inquire from the Secretary if there are messages from the House. If so, would you ask them to be read?
Madam Secretary, please read the messages from the House.
Mr. President, I am instructed by the House of Representatives to inform the Senate that the House has taken up and passed House Bill 1972, entitled An Act Relating to Victims of Crimes. Also, Mr. President, I am instructed by the House of Representatives to inform the Senate that the House has taken up and passed House Bill 1611, entitled An Act Relating to Elementary and Secondary Education. Also, Mr. President, I am instructed by the House of Representatives to inform the Senate that the House has taken up and passed House Concurrent Resolution 61, entitled An Act Relating to the Publishing of the Revised Statutes of Missouri, in which the concurrence of the Senate is respectfully requested. Respectfully submitted, Daniel Adam Crumless, Chief Clerk.
Senator from Cole.
Mr. President, without objection, the Senate will go to the order of business of announcements.
The order of business is announcements. Senator from Cole.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senator from the Fifth was giving me an announcement, but I am not going to repeat it. No other business coming for the body. I move the Senate stand adjourned under the rules.
All those in favor of that motion shall say aye. All opposed shall say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do it. The Senate will stand adjourned under the rules.